Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
Training camp is underway down in Richmond, and I had a chance yesterday right after the show to record the interview that you're going to hear coming up here in a moment with Ron Rivera. The vaccination rate story hadn't come out. His frustration related to that hadn't come out. So you're not going to hear me ask him about vaccinations and vaccination rates, and that's the reason why. It was primarily a football and an organizational conversation, but it started off with me asking him how he was feeling.
I'm feeling good. I really am, Kevin. Things have come together nicely. My health is good. So I'm excited about the opportunity to get going with this team.
All right. So I think your team did enough last year to warrant some genuine optimism. And I think the expectations are on the increase for a fan base that hasn't had, you know, a ton to be excited about in recent years. Do you and the team feel that optimism?
Yes, we do. You know, it's interesting because, you know, as far as I'm concerned, really, the expectations that are important to us are ours. You know, we have to understand that our expectations have to be higher than everybody else's. But at the same time, we've also got to be realistic. We've got to understand what's at stake and why we're doing the things that we're doing.
Are higher expectations like winning the division and or making the playoffs fair?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, that's why, to me, you do what you do. You know, we're not coming here hoping to get something done. We're not coming here, you know, we're coming here because we truly believe we have an opportunity. We have what it takes. We have the players we need to give ourselves a chance to win.
I assume, like most coaches, you address the whole team before training camp begins in sort of a state of the union with, you know, a statement of goals, et cetera. How do you do that? And what was in your message this year?
Well, basically what will be in that message will really be about what our intent is, you know, why we're here, what training camp is for, what we're trying to establish as far as who we are as a football team.
So do you set goals and do you lay those goals out? Is that how you handle it?
Oh, yeah, most certainly. We'll talk about what we intend to do and what our anticipation is in terms of who we can be and what we can become as far as being a football team, good football team.
So specifically, what are those goals? So we can follow them along with you.
Well, for the most part, you know, our goal is always to win, and that's the biggest thing, and I think that's really where it starts.
But you don't lay out like we need to win X amount of games. You know,
No.
We have a goal of winning the division. We have a goal of winning the playoffs. That's not part of the message.
No. Well, our basic goal, our intent is to win. That's it, period. We go from there. We define it as we go along. You know, there's a lot of mistakes you can make and a lot of things you can create by setting numbers. Because, again, if I set a number last year saying we needed 10 to win the division and we're 1-5, we're 1-7. Now we've put ourselves in a position where we're not winning 10. So it doesn't matter. All you have to do is get into playoffs as far as I'm concerned. Then we'll see what happens.
You know what's interesting as you're talking, I'm remembering last year, a lot of your message from day one when you got hired all the way through – you know, training camp, which was obviously an odd training camp and an odd off season, was, you know, about, you know, a culture change. You've mentioned the word culture so many times, and yet you adapted because 4 or 5 games into the season, you looked at the division and said, well, why not us? So I guess
exactly.
So you have to be flexible in terms of those goals, right?
Yes, you do. I mean, again, certain things will happen, certain things change, and just because of that, you've got to be flexible enough to handle it, make your choices, make your decisions, and then move on to the next thing. And that's really what happened for us last year.
On the culture rebuild question that you referred to a lot of last year, where are you in that process right now, entering year two?
Gosh, I'd say we are. You know, we're still developing, and that too it will adapt. That's a tough question to answer, just because I don't know where we are right now in terms of this group, this team, and that's what I'm so interested. That's what I'm so excited about being here. I mean, as we go through it, as we get together today, we have our first set of meetings. How the players react to those meetings, how players react to the first few days of practice. That'll give me a sense for where we are as far as our culture is concerned going forward.
I think one of the things you said, and I remember you saying it, and I forget to whom, you said, you know, we need certain kind of people in this organization and in this locker room. And that was sort of part and parcel to the culture-changing message. So where are you on having your people, your kind of people in that building?
I think we've done a good job. And I think we found people that we believe fit what we're trying to do. They understand what we're trying to accomplish. They understand what it takes. That, to me, is just as important, is making sure that people understand what is expected of them, what the standard is. You know, that's part of my job, is making sure that the players all understand what it takes to get to where we want to go.
Ron Rivera, the head coach of your Washington football team, joining us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. So, you know, I remember you also saying something like when you got to Carolina, the team had been 2-14. You were used to a start over. And at one point, you know, players didn't necessarily, they weren't buying in. And you essentially said to them, look, you know, if you have success, you're going to get credit. If we fail, I'll take the blame, but only if you do it my way. And that was your message to Carolina early on. Did you have at any point last year, this time, or early in the season, any of those moments where you had to say to players or a position unit, hey, guys, it's my way, because you were 3-13 the year before? Did you have a moment like that?
Yeah, oh, most certainly. I had somebody say, one of the players say to me, well, you know what we did last year? I said, well, let's don't talk about last year, because last year you were in 3-13. I don't want to hear that. And so that pretty much, you know, ended. And then I explained to them, I said, guys, if you do it the way we're trying to teach you, you do it the way that we're asking, this gives you guys an opportunity, you know, to be a better football team. It gives us an opportunity to be successful. And I think that's probably the most important thing. Is because, again, that's what we're trying to get past. We're trying to get past that, you know, oh, this is how we did it. Well, if it had been successful, I wouldn't have been here. And that's one of the things, you know, that I try to get across as far as my message was concerned.
John Allen got extended. Why was it important to get John Allen extended?
One of the things we just talked about, he is the right type of young man. He's the type of guy that we need to have in our program, the type of young man that gives us a chance to win.
How about Logan Thomas?
Same thing. I mean, again, you know, we're trying to find the guys that we believe fit the culture we're trying to create. We're trying to find the guys that we believe can help us and give us the best opportunity to win football games.
After either mini camp or OTAs, you were, as you are, you know, every day, and you'll be every day for the next few weeks, asked about quarterbacks. And I think most of us assume that you signed Ryan Fitzpatrick to start. He pretty much admitted that he's in a great position where he's sort of the starter coming in for the first time. I think one of the things many of us found unusual is you never mentioned Kyle Allen after OTAs in mini camp. Where does he fit in?
Oh, Kyle's got an opportunity as well. I mean, we got to see where he is, how that foot is, and then we'll go from there.
Was that the issue, is that he wasn't completely healthy? And if so, where is he now physically?
He's right where he needs to be. He'll be out there competing.
Ron, there's always a player or two who ends up being a surprise contributor to fans and even media by the time we get to the regular season. But yet, you guys probably knew it all along. Can you give us an idea of an example of a player that you guys are really excited to see because you think that player's on the verge of breaking out?
Well, you know, I don't want to limit it to a player as much as I like the position. I think we have a couple of positions that, man, if we can get these guys to take the next step, we just got better. I mean, one of the exciting positions on our team to watch this year is wide receiver. I mean, you couple Terry and Cam Sims with the guys that we brought in as free agents, as draft picks, it's a dynamic group. It's a whole different group. We got guys that are going to come in and compete, too, from last year that played for us. So this is to me, is a very interesting set of circumstances at that position. Then you look at defense, and you look at the secondary, and you sit there and say, wow, we got some quality guys. I mean, just guys that have really stepped up. And, you know, last year, I really like, you know, what we got at the safety position. You know, I thought Cam did a great job for us and played a tremendous football for us. So that was exciting. But if there are two guys that I really want to see if they're ready to take the next step, honestly, they're both our defensive ends. I think Montez and Chase are two guys that can really, if they take the next big step in their development as football players, can really take their game to the next level, and that can help us out as a football team.
What are you getting back with Matt Ioannidis?
We're getting back a stout physical player that can push the pocket, that won't allow a quarterback to step up into the pocket, which is going to help our defensive ends. Because, again, if the quarterback can't escape by stepping out of the pass rush lane, he's going to be sitting there like a sitting duck, and it gives us a chance to make more plays.
Last year, Ron, I thought you guys were too inconsistent against the run. Where is that on the priority list entering this season?
To me, I think one of the priorities is making sure we understand that. We understand how important it is that we stop the run. Because, again, if you're stopping the run, now all of a sudden the quarterback, he has no other option. He's going to have to hold on to the football and throw the football. So that gives you a chance to get there and make plays.
Do you agree that you were inconsistent as a run-stopping team last year and it has to improve?
Oh, yeah, and I said so. I mentioned a couple of positions that I felt needed to step up, particularly the linebacking core, and lo and behold, they did. And so, again, I'll continue to voice my opinion on what I think needs to be improved as far as our football team is concerned. I like our guys. I think our guys are the kind of guys that understand and get what's being asked of them. So I look forward to the opportunity for us as a football team to get better.
Decent segue into the linebackers as we talk to Ron Rivera here on the show. You've got a guy in Bostic who I know you love because of his IQ, sort of a coach on the field. You drafted Jamin Davis. Obviously, Cole Holcomb can really run. Kalik Hudson got a ton of snaps at the end of last year, so it's obvious you like him. Give me 30 seconds, if you will, on the linebacking group and how you see it playing out.
Well, I think it's going to be a very competitive group. I really do. You did it for me. You mentioned all the guys that really have an opportunity to play some serious roles for us. And, you know, and somebody will come out of that group and really, I think, have an opportunity to show us what he's capable of. So I like who we have. I think it's going to be some interesting stuff as we go forward. I do look forward to the competition.
If we just assume that your base defense is a 4-3 and not nickel, which it seems to be with a lot of teams, who's the starting middle linebacker?
Gosh, that's a tough one to say because we like the three guys that we have that have worked all those positions, you know. I just think, again, right now, naming somebody day one, that's not fair to those guys because, again, they're all complementary players. They do the things that we need them to do, and as we go through this, we'll see what happens.
Two more, and I know you've got to run. First one is this. We always, you know, as fans of the team, when we're talking to people will say, so what kind of team do you have this year? And then we go into our own little, you know, explanation of what kind of team we think we have this year. When people close to you say, what kind of team do you have this year? What's your answer?
I said we have a potential to be a really good football team. I have some concerns, some things that these guys are going to have to show me that they've learned and they're ready to go forward as a football team and be the type of guy they think we can be. I think that is, again, as I said earlier, to be determined. Because, again, we don't know who they are. We don't know what they're going to be. This is what training camp is for, okay, is to develop and see where we are, to see if we have taken those next steps, which I believe we can, and if not, how can we improve and get better?
What's your number one concern?
Maturity. I think we have to grow and mature as a football team. I don't think we can show up and automatically assume we're going to pick up where we left off last year. Okay, I want to make sure everybody approaches this the right way. We're going to show up, and we're going to start with the base fundamentals, start with the basics, and develop as a football team as we go along. If we don't pay attention to the little details now, when we need to rely on the base fundamentals, we need to fall back to the basics. We're not ready to do that, so that's what this is about.
Lastly, where are your vaccination rates right now for the team?
They're hopefully trending in the right direction, which I believe they are. But, again, we've got some work to do, and we want to get these guys, as many of them, vaccinated when it's time.
Ron, thanks so much. Wish you the best of luck. Appreciate the time.
No worries. Thank you.
That was my conversation yesterday with Ron Rivera on our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. By the way, as summer is heating up, so does the sports betting action at BetMGM. Sign up now, use my bonus code, KevinS, and your first wager is totally risk-free, up to $600. Place your bets on all the exciting showdowns in MLB, MLS, and more sports from around the globe. And when you register with BetMGM, you'll also get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. From breathtaking goals to colossal home runs, the King of Sportsbooks takes every play to a new level of excitement. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com, enter my bonus code KevinS, and get back up to $600 on your very first wager. With BetMGM, you're just a few taps away from turning game time into showtime. New customer offer, paid and free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 or older, D.C. and Virginia only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Few thoughts on that conversation with Ron Rivera and a few more thoughts on the Washington football team as a whole. We'll get to Aaron Rodgers' return as well. That and a lot more coming up. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, Team980.com. You can also listen to us on...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Odyssey app.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
What's your number one concern?
Maturity. I think we have to grow and mature as a football team. I don't think we can show up and automatically assume we're going to pick up where we left off last year. Okay, I want to make sure everybody approaches this the right way. We're going to show up and we're going to start with the base fundamentals, start with the basics, and develop as a football team as we go along. If we don't pay attention to the little details now, when we need to rely on the base fundamentals, we need to fall back to the basics. We're not ready to do that. So that's what this is about.
You know, trust me, I'm not making the comparison here. But there's a lot of Joe Jackson Gibbs in that last statement that we used to hear all the time. Every year is a completely new year in the NFL. There's no other league where that is more true than the NFL. Almost every week, it can be a completely different look and feel to a team and to a game than the week before. But year to year, it changes significantly. And I loved what he said there. Now, part of it is a concern because he talked about maturity a couple of times in my conversation with him, which we just had from yesterday. And I did not know at the time the vaccination report that was out, et cetera. And I wonder if he, in his own mind, thinks that some of that maturity is represented in the very low vaccination rate. But the fact that he's talking about we cannot show up and assume that we're going to play the way we were playing at the end of the year says you're in the playoffs, but there's no guarantee you're going to be in the playoffs this year. And by the way, hopefully he hammers home the message that, you know, we didn't win the playoff game, and we gave up 507 yards in that playoff game, and we nearly lost against a team that was trying to tank the season finale. We only won seven games, so despite what a lot of people are saying about our team and about the prospects of us being a contender in the division and some saying in the NFC, we got to pay attention to details and not worry about what anybody else is saying. There's a maturity there. And let's be honest, this has been one of the biggest missing pieces, characteristic-wise, from this franchise for 21 years. Maturity, top down. You know, it was always about how great we were going to be during the offseason, and then they fell flat on their you-know-whats when the season began. Over-promising, under-delivering. Ron Rivera is not an over-promiser. Not yet, anyway. Hopefully, the owner and some of the other people don't rub off on him in trying to be a marketer of his team before his team's played a game in an upcoming season. Maturity, we've got to pay attention to all of the details because it's those little things that show up that end up costing you. That's exactly what Joe Gibbs used to talk about and pay attention to. The details, the little things that add up to big things if they're not taken care of. I thought there was, you know, the answer about Kyle Allen, I was curious because remember, we had not gotten really a follow-up to why Kyle Allen was completely omitted from the conversation post-minicamp and OTAs. And, you know, look, a lot of his answers were short. A lot of them weren't necessarily divulging of much. But I am interested to see where Kyle Allen fits in with the backup quarterback competition, and it is going to be a backup quarterback competition. Don't think that there's actually a chance that Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't going to start the opener against the Chargers, barring injury. If he's healthy, he is the starter. And then I do think that it's an interesting competition. If it is a competition, and it sounds like there will be, I mean, he wants to speak to competition in every single position on the team. But let's be honest, Chase Young's going to start. Montez Sweat is going to start. William Jackson III is going to be on the field. So is Kendall Fuller. So is Brandon Scherff. And so is Ryan Fitzpatrick and Terry McLaurin. They're going to compete, but they're going to be on the field when the opener comes. I am interested to see, because it'll be revealing of what they think of Heinicke and Allen as to who is the backup quarterback by the time we get to the opener. I think most of you off of OTAs and minicamp just assume that it was Taylor Heinicke because he didn't even mention Kyle Allen. But I said then and there, and I still feel the same way. It's not going to surprise me if Kyle Allen emerges, you know, over the next couple of weeks as a guy that's healthy and is giving them exactly what he gave them last year, which is a true understanding of the offense, a real comfort level with him, and that, you know, would it surprise me if he ended up being the backup? It wouldn't. It wouldn't surprise me. He talked about his wide receiver competition, and there is a lot of competition. Now, Curtis Samuel is starting on the PUP list. And as Michael Phillips said when he was with us, if we get back to Ashburn and he's still on the PUP list, that could be an issue. Well, Ashburn's next week. But he mentioned Terry and Cam Sims to start with, and then talked about what they added to Terry and Cam. You know, there are a couple of players that, you know, during the course of last year and even in, you know, throwaway lines or conversations that maybe were more significant, you can sort of tell who these coaches really like. And, you know, I mentioned Kalik Hudson yesterday. I think Kalik Hudson's going to be a big-time contributor on defense to start the year. I think they're going to give him every opportunity to be on the field a lot. He played 50% of the snaps in the Seattle game towards the end of last year. They love him on special teams, but he is a guy that can play that Buffalo nickel position, be one of the two backers on the field in nickel. And I think that the whole linebacker situation is interesting, like it is with wide receivers. Like, who are going to be the players on the field? Now, there's more depth at wide receiver and less depth at linebacker. But how they line up when they're in their base 4-3, and, you know, their nickel is nearly base defense. But let's call their base defense their 4-3. Who are the three linebackers on the field, and where are they? They love John Bostic. He is Del Rio's coach on the field. He is not Luke Kuechly, obviously, and they were disappointed with maybe the performance of him and other linebackers through the first third to two-thirds of the season. But they love the way Bostic improved and seemed to get a handle on the defense and started to play much better. And they love how intelligent he is. And by the way, from my standpoint, I think he runs better than most of you think he runs. I think he can move. He's 30, and when we've seen him in blitzing situations, I think he gets there pretty quickly. But I also think he's more of a middle linebacker than he is a strong side backer. If Holcomb is your, you know, is your Will, your weak side linebacker, because of his lateral end-to-end, sideline-to-sideline speed, which I think is a better fit for him, is Bostic truly, you know, a Thomas Davis replacement, you know, Thomas Davis type? I don't know. We're going to find out a lot, and we're going to find out whether or not Jamin Davis, as a rookie, can handle the middle linebacker responsibilities. I think linebacker is very interesting, and the play has to improve, and it's got to become more consistent, because this football team has to be a much better run-stopping team than it was last year against teams that want to run the ball against them. They have to be a better run-stopping team. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's performance and their ability to be consistently good and strong against the run defensively are the two biggest keys to the season right now. because the defense will not be elite if they're not a better run-stopping team, if they're not a more consistent run-stopping team. And of course we know the importance of Ryan Fitzpatrick and the quarterback playing much better than their four quarterbacks played last year in aggregate. Those are really, to me, the big questions going in. Did they improve enough at linebacker and even in the secondary, and in year two of the system take a big jump to where teams can't run the football against them? Teams that want to run the football against them, and they won't get some of those teams until later in the season. Now, there will be a team week two in the Giants if Saquon Barkley's healthy that will want to run the football. You know, Buffalo will have a quarterback, as will the Giants and the Chargers in the first 3 weeks of the season, where you've got quarterbacks that will run the football. By the way, sometimes, you know, out of sort of read option, zone read looks. New Orleans is going to try to run the football. Denver will try to run the football when they get to them. Tampa will try to run the football. They've got to be a better run-stopping team, more consistent. If they are, then this defense takes a big jump, because I'm not concerned about their ability to rush the passer on obvious passing downs if they get teams into obvious passing downs. And I have a feeling they will be much better on the back end as well. And maybe with players we're not even anticipating right now. Like, you know, a St. Juiced, as an example. I also thought, you know, and I could sense that, you know, he and the coaching staff are excited about Matt Ioannidis. I will tell you that Matt Ioannidis was part of the group that they had some issues with very early last year before Ioannidis got hurt, with some of the new techniques that they were teaching. You know, it was not something that was totally comfortable. Sam Mills Jr. Teaching, or Sam Mills III, teaching the D-line new techniques. There was a lot of pushback. I think Rivera, when he said that there was some pushback and there were players that they had to address, I think a lot of that was on defense with different ways of coaching different techniques. But Ioannidis is, you know, and I think along with Daron Payne and John Allen, I think they can get significant interior push against some really good quarterbacks who you've got to get immediate pressure on this year. You know, you get that interior push, and it's as threatening, if you will, as your exterior or edge rush with Young and Sweat, and you're stopping the run, this defense can take a major jump and be dominant. It can be. It's got the talent. Hopefully, it has the talent in the middle behind that front four as well. Anyway, just a few things from the conversation with Ron that I wanted to follow up on. You know, there are other things that we're all hopeful for. We're hopeful that the offensive line is better and deeper. Hopeful that Antonio Gibson develops in year two into, you know, a real big time back. And, you know, Terry McLaurin in year three here turns into a superstar, with some help from Samuel and De'Ami Brown and Sims and Humphreys, and that they've got a quarterback that's going to give all those guys chances by spreading it around. You know, one of the things Ryan Fitzpatrick does well when he's doing what he does well is he spreads it around. You got a lot of games during the course of his career where he's played well, where 8, 9, 10 guys make catches. Logan Thomas signed. I love that deal that they got with Thomas. I think that they have done a very good job here of changing their ways, not allowing players that they want, that they've identified should be a part of what they are trying to build here, to get to sniffing range of free agency. That's why John Allen was locked up and extended before. And that's why they're doing the same with Logan Thomas. You could make the argument that the Logan Thomas signing in many ways was more important because they don't have an answer at tight end right now, and they don't have apparent depth at tight end, whereas on the D-line, there seems to be a plethora of talented players, especially on the interior with Payne, Allen, Ioannidis, Settle, et cetera. All right. Wanted to get to the Aaron Rodgers return. And one of the best corners in the league is demanding a trade. More on that and more on Washington football when we return. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, team980.com. You can always take, by the way, the Team 980 with you anytime, anywhere with our Odyssey app. You can discover hundreds of new exclusive music stations like Stadium Anthems, Tailgate Rock, and more. Download the Odyssey app and find your new summer soundtrack.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's what's trending on the Team 980.
The Nationals snapped their five-game losing skid, beat the Phillies last night 6-4. Alex Ovechkin got a five-year, $47.5 million contract extension. Washington inked Logan Thomas to a three-year extension yesterday. And Ron Rivera, in his opening press conference at training camp yesterday, vented his frustrations with his team due to the lowest vaccination rate in the NFL. Nikki Javala, among others, reporting that 60% of their 90-man roster have received at least one shot. 40% of the roster hasn't received any. The average rate in the NFL is 84%, with 14 teams over the 90% threshold, according to multiple reports. Katie Ledecky, by the way, last night won the 1,500-meter freestyle for gold medal. And Team USA men's basketball bounced back with a dominating 120-66 win over Iran. They covered in that game, Brendan. They won by 54, went off at minus 42. Very interesting. That line opened at 39, went to 47, then came all the way back to 42. Nobody knows what to make of the U.S. team, but the Iran team isn't very good. Aaron Rodgers was back yesterday, and apparently, he's going to get enough. The bottom line is Aaron Rodgers thought maybe, he could play hardball and they'd trade him. The Packers weren't going to trade him, period. They worked out a solution, which includes voiding the last year of his deal, which means at the end of the upcoming season, it would be beneficial to Green Bay to trade him before they lose him for nothing after the following year. Now, it gets a little bit dicey as he turns 40 years old, as an unrestricted free agent. But anyway, there seems to be sort of this idea that the Packers will be open to a conversation about trading him at the end of next year. Also, by the way, you know, a day after Rodgers and the team, you know, agreed to this return, the Packers have seemingly met one of his requests. They're bringing back Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb on the verge, according to reports, of being reacquired. He should be back once a trade with the Texans is completed. Who knew that it was Randall Cobb that made the difference there? Rodgers to Cobb, Rodgers to Adams. The Packers will certainly be the favorite to win the NFC North. They are back on the odds lists as a heavy favorite to win the NFC North, and is pretty much the consensus number two or number three pick in the NFC behind the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. When Rodgers reported back yesterday, I don't know how many of you have seen the pictures of Aaron Rodgers coming back. First of all, I guess he dropped on a private plane his girlfriend and actress off at her next movie set in New Mexico, and then took that private plane into Green Bay and jumped into a Cadillac Escalade. And then when he reported yesterday, he was wearing these big, thick sunglasses, long hair slicked back, full-fledged beard, and he had a T-shirt on, and I know that he's a big Office fan, but he had a T-shirt on that said The Office, Dunder Mifflin, and it was a Kevin Malone and Kevin Malone, you know, dropping the chili on the floor when he walked in that particular morning for that particular episode. Aaron Rodgers is a big Office fan and has been on Brian Baumgartner's podcast, The Deep Dive on The Office, which I'm a big fan of. He's been on that with Brian and knows the show frontwards, backwards, sideways. Big fan of the show. But the look in which he arrived at Green Bay was obviously a very casual look. And there was this tweet that somebody sent me from Michael Salfino. I don't know who Michael Salfino is. But the tweet read as follows with the picture of Rodgers walking in to the Green Bay facility. Rodgers looked like he just changed into these clothes after being hosed down by the wolf. That's the best tweet on the Rodgers look yesterday, by far. The wolf hosing down Samuel L. and John Travolta after he said, you're 30 minutes away, I'll be there in 10. Harvey Keitel, brilliant in Pulp Fiction, and that whole scene, one of my all-time favorite scenes in any Tarantino movie, when he and Tarantino in that movie are hosing down Samuel L. And Travolta after they've cleaned up the remains of the body that they shot in the car. You know, pretty pleased with Sugar on Top. Go clean the blanking car. Rodgers looked a little bit too casual. He's going to have a big year. They're going to have a big year. The Packers are going to have a big year if he stays healthy and he's good and coming off the MVP season. You know, one of the debates in Green Bay, or one of the stories out of Green Bay, is that a lot of Packers fans have taken the side of the team in this. And we've heard Mark Murphy, the team president, refer to this has been a polarizing issue. You know, that a lot of people have been on our side and a lot of people have been on Aaron's side. He's been sort of putting that out there in every conversation to let everybody know, hey, it's not our fault, and not everybody agrees that it's our fault. You know, any Packers fan could have a conversation with fans of 20-something teams in the NFL, and we would all tell them the same thing. You're insane if you're not behind Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers being your quarterback. You're the luckiest team in the league. You've had 30 uninterrupted years of Hall of Fame quarterback play. It started with Favre in essentially 1992, and they're now on their 30th season. 14 with Favre, about to be 17. 13, I guess, with Favre, and about to be 17 with Aaron Rodgers. 30 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play. No other teams had that run. How lucky can you get? And how completely oblivious to what's on the other side do you have to be to actually be a fan of that team and for a moment think, yeah, you know, go ahead, trade them? It's pretty incredible. You know, the Packers went from their glory years in the 60s under Lombardi to into the wilderness for basically three decades. They were not a good football team in the 70s for the most part, not a good football team in the 80s for the most part, and for the first part, you know, early in the 90s, not a good football team until the mid-90s. And since, they have been a factor virtually every year, except for the years where their quarterbacks have been injured. For now going on, you know, 26, 27, 28 years, with 30 years of Hall of Fame quarterbacking. You gotta, I mean, that is not a, hey, maybe the grass is greener on the other side. That's just plain not paying attention to the rest of the league and understanding how lucky you are as a fan base to have had this. No other teams had this. The Patriots had it for 20 years, essentially. You know, 18 years. That's what they had it for. They didn't have it before that. Bledsoe wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback when he took them to the Super Bowl, which Brett Favre and the Packers won. There's a corner on the market all of a sudden. I don't know how many people have seen, you know, Xavien Howard has developed into one of the best corners in the league. The Miami corner, young player, asking now to get out. And he put out, I thought, what was a message that really, I don't know, made sort of sense. He did sign a contract, and he is under contract, but he and his agent asked for a couple of things that Miami did not reciprocate on, did not, you know, fulfill. And he put this note out after asking publicly to be traded. Look, Miami's got a good young football team. You know, there's still, you know, a question clearly about whether or not Tua Tagovailoa is going to be the right answer at quarterback. But that is a good young football team, especially on defense. You know, it's a well-coached team, too. I think we saw enough from Brian Flores to understand that this guy might have it together. He might be the guy. Quarterback's going to be the issue. You know, they have some talent offensively. You know, they got the big tight end from Penn State that Fitzpatrick threw to in the Raiders game a bunch. They drafted Jalen Waddle. They added Will Fuller, right? I think they added Will Fuller. Defensively, though, they've got a lot of talent. And Xavien Howard is one of the best corners, one of the true best corners, young corners in the NFL. Actually, how old is Xavien Howard now? Look that up. Because I'm thinking he's like 24, and I might be wrong. Because now I'm thinking he might be in the league longer than that.
He's 28.
He's 28. Oh, I didn't realize he was that old. Not that that's that old. Prime of his career. Really good player. He put out this note after asking for a trade. I've given my heart and soul to the Miami Dolphins franchise since they drafted me in 2016 and want to make it clear that I love my teammates. They are my family. But what I've learned is that the business side of the NFL proves organizations don't always have a player's best interest at heart. My experience with the Dolphins the past few seasons has taught me that. In 2018, I signed an extension that I'll admit I didn't completely understand or feel comfortable with. I've played on that deal for two seasons and didn't complain, but everyone knows I've significantly outperformed that deal. I'm one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, and the tape backs that up. The assignments I'm given, shadowing the opposition's best player with little help, proves my value, my worth. Yet I'm the second highest paid cornerback on my own team, and it's not even close. I want to clear up a few misconceptions about my situation. My agent, David Cantor, and I have never once asked for a completely new contract. We wanted to work things out with the Dolphins and brought solutions like more guaranteed money. We felt were win-wins. They were proposals and adjustments that just wouldn't make me feel more respected, but were also cap-friendly. But the Dolphins refused everything we proposed. That is why I don't feel the organization has dealt with me in good faith. I don't feel valued or respected by the Dolphins. Just like they can take a business-first approach, so can I. Until that trade happens, I'm just here so I don't get fined and will handle myself like professionals do. If Washington didn't have William Jackson III and didn't add him, I would be all in on Xavien Howard at 28 years old, even though he's older than I thought he would be. I thought he handled that messaging pretty well, though, unlike T.J. Ward. We talked about that earlier. But T.J. Ward made a complete ass out of himself with one of the worst, most ignorant, and mean-spirited tweets in the history of Twitter last night, when he essentially implied that Ron Rivera chose cancer. Thanks to Ron Rivera for spending some time with me yesterday. Thanks to Michael Phillips. Thanks to Brendan. Thanks to all of you who have called in. I'm taking some days off, and I will certainly be back soon, but have some vacation time that I'm going to use starting tomorrow. Until I'm back, enjoy yourself. Craig Hoffman will be in for me, I think, tomorrow and Friday. Have a great day. Travis is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.